Welcome to this Walnut Wednesday edition of the Maya Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. We'll have feature agricultural news reports coming up in the show, along with a look at regional and national agricultural news. And I'll get started with that regional agricultural news right after this.
AgroPlante is the leading manufacturer in specialty products. AgroPlante formulates products that rise to the challenge of today's growing conditions. Saline and sodic soils reduce crop yield and cause significant crop losses. AgroPlante developed Cation EX5 Plus with growers in mind to manage soil salinity. With multiple years of research, Cation EX5 Plus has proven to be an excellent source of calcium and an effective soil salinity manager. Run it through drip irrigation without any issues. Simplify your application method with innovative and efficient formulations. Alleviate salinity stress with Cation EX5 Plus. AgroPlante, imagination, innovation, science in action.
A new study announced by the California Department of Food and Agriculture will evaluate agriculture's food safety and water quality regulatory reporting requirements as part of an effort to streamline administrative processes and optimize information collected by the state. The study is supported by funding in a 2021 to 2022 budget. CDFA is contracting with Sacramento-based Crow LLC to conduct the study. Crow will map current CDFA and State Water Resources Control Board ag-related food safety and water quality reporting requirements. The results of the study will support the state's protective food safety and water quality standards while advancing efficient reporting practices and opportunities to create synergistic partners between agencies on information collected. Crow LLC will prepare a final report with recommendations. The project will be completed by 2025. To inform this analysis, CDFA, the State Water Board, and Crow will engage with and gather input from the agricultural community and other stakeholders on their experiences with current reporting requirements and processes. CDFA, the State Water Board, and Crow will hold an informational session, which will include a presentation about the project's scope and timeline and provide opportunities for public input and discussion. The informational session will be on Thursday, May 18th, beginning at 1 p.m. and going until 2:30 p.m. Pacific time. It is going to be done via Zoom. You are asked to register in advance. For more information, see the CDFA website. California has been severely impacted by more than 15 successive atmospheric river events between December 30th of 2022 and March 22nd of 2023. The range of direct impacts have been severe, with substantial economic losses to cool season row crop and strawberry farming operations. As the first series of storms hit before much of the scheduled planting had started along the Central Coast region, the flood impacts were more consequential in land and infrastructure damage, but mostly due to the 30 to 60 day delays to transplant, replant, or seeding once the floodwaters receded. Source assessment and soil testing mitigations are available to these growers within this established waiting period. For the Monterey County region, it has been estimated that approximately 9% of the roughly 220,000 acres in production were impacted by the successive storms. For strawberry growers, the restart decision tree is straightforward. Once immersed in floodwaters, berry growers have no option available but to pull mulch cover and drip lines, remove the plants, clear debris and physical hazards, and repair washed-out access to roads and beds. The potential for root and crown diseases develop after initial flooding and secondary spread in subsequent reflooding or pooling is likely. Estimates are 5% severe flood impacts on a roughly 40,000 acres planned for the 2023 season. While risk assessment research on strawberries is limited, available results indicate that survival of bacterial foodborne pathogens is very low on both immature and mature berries. As for tree fruit and tree nuts in Yolo County, there are sections of flooded almonds which were in bloom during the second and third waves of the atmospheric rivers. There are signs of stress. Prolonged flooding with limited water movement may result in poor soil oxygenation and buildup of damaging volatiles and microbial byproducts, resulting in an acute death or chronic decline. Sediment deposits may worsen these effects. There may be interacting factors of variety, soil type compaction, rootstock, flood duration, degree of dormancy, nitrogen status, and a spectrum of other factors involved in the impacts of their severity. In general, almonds, peaches, and apricots, followed by sweet cherry, are less tolerant than other fruit and nut types. Interestingly, in some cases where soil porosity and damage are excellent, extensive floodwaters may be beneficial to the orchard and contribute to local groundwater recharge. Although not the only trigger for bacterial canker, a primary concern following flooding, especially if the waters remain above the soil line and crown area for several days, is tree stress increasing infections, even with no specific wound. Canker development can be rapid during and following bloom and early leaf out under prolonged, cool, and rainy conditions in conjunction with flooding at the crown of the tree, along with a complex of other predicting factors, including prior frost injury. There are few corrective actions available once an extended flood condition. More realistically, future preventative measures may be found in extension resources. The California Department of Agriculture is announcing a recall of raw cow milk produced at Raw Farm LLC of Fresno County. The quarantine order came following the confirmed detection of the bacteria Campylobacter in the farm's packaged raw whole milk sampled and tested by the California Department of Food and Agriculture. CDFA found the bacteria in a routine sample collected at the Raw Farm LLC packaging facility. Raw whole milk produced and packaged by Raw Farm LLC of Fresno County is the subject of a statewide recall and quarantine order announced by the California State Veterinarian Dr. Annette Jones. The order applies to raw farm whole milk distributed in half-gallon and gallon plastic jugs with a code date marked on a container, Best Buy 0505-2023. As of the posting of this recall, no illnesses have been reported. Consumers are strongly urged to dispose of any product remaining in their refrigerators, and retailers are to pull the product immediately from their shelves.
In late April, the California Department of Water Resources announced an increase in state water project allocations from 75% to 100%, which is great news for the ag industry and the first time this has occurred in 17 years. This water will be delivered throughout the year to the state water project's 29 public water agencies that serve 27 million Californians and 750,000 acres of farmland. Molly White is the state water project's water operations manager. And besides the obvious, she explained what led to the department's decision to increase these allocations.
There's certainly been a lot of attention to the historical snowpack in many areas of this Sierra, especially in the central and southern Sierra. That certainly has increased the water supply outlook for the State Water Project. However, coming off of a three-year stretch of extremely dry years, we had quite a bit of storage deficit in our State Water Project reservoirs attributed to those extremely dry years. So the first step is to fill that gap, fill that deficit of storage. So the series of atmospheric rivers not only provided the snowpack, but also provided that direct runoff that has helped us fill that storage deficit. Lake Oroville, for example, since the beginning of year, we've gained nearly 2 million acre feet. So we're well above average. So from a storage perspective, we're looking great, but also from a snowpack perspective. In addition to the very high flows into and the direct runoff into the storage reservoirs, there's always just the high flows that came into the system. So it did allow the State Water Project to maximize our pumping in the South Delta, which also provided dual. We were able to maximize our pumping, but also had and were able to provide really great flows for state and federally listed species in the Delta as well. So this pumping allowed and provided water supply not only to fill our State Water Project share of San Luis Reservoir, but also to fill storage in our southern State Water Project reservoirs like Castaic Lake and Lake Paris.
This wet winter and strong runoff conditions have allowed the State Water Project to make additional water available to any contractor that has the necessary infrastructure to store the water in their own system, including through groundwater recharge. The Department of Water Resources is maximizing the capture and storage of this abundance of snowpack across the state.
Throughout the spring, State Water Project, we've been able to maximize our ability to store water in our surface water reservoirs. But during the drought itself, millions of Californians also relied on groundwater for their sole source of water, whether it be for municipal or industrial or for agriculture purposes. So the state's groundwater basins themselves aren't as quick to recover like our surface storage reservoirs. So DWR, we continue to expedite our work on groundwater recharge projects, encourage that if there's the ability there, just to allow replenishment of the groundwater supplies.
While this was a substantial year in most every regard from a water standpoint, White said the Department of Water Resources is still thinking about how to improve water capture and allocations in future wet years.
We never know from year to year what Mother Nature will bring. California needs to be prepared to capture water during these extreme events. And it will require us as a state to continue to rehabilitate and modernize the state water project infrastructure. We have had subsidence along our main stem California Aqueduct. So it's very important to continue on rehabbing and projects moving rehabilitation of the subsidence issues forward, just to give the California Aqueduct State Water Project the ability to convey and transport as much water as we can during these critical times. Also, the Delta Conveyance Project would allow the State Water Project to move as much water as possible to take advantage of those high flow events that we even experienced in earlier this year.
You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Chalstrom.
Legislation has been introduced into both the House and the Senate that seeks to help address America's shortage of technical service providers at the Department of Agriculture. Technical service providers help producers deploy and manage conservation programs through one-on-one assistance. USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service Chief Terry Cosby recently projected his agency would need to hire between 3,000 and 4,000 employees to meet demand for technical assistance. Specifically, the bill would help to build the workforce by cutting red tape, streamlining technical service providers' certification requirements, and ensuring they are paid the market rate. Representative Abigail Spanberger, a Democrat from Virginia, and Senator Mike Braun, a Republican from Indiana, led the effort. Spanberger says the massive workforce issue is having real effects on the ground and is slowing down the ability of producers to make smart management plans for their land. Braun adds, "Our nation's farmers and ranchers play a critical role in conservation, so it's important to have access to technical service providers." The CME Group Ag Economy Barometer for April results have been released. Jim Mintard is director of Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture, and he reviews the survey results.
The Ag Economy Barometer Index was up 6 points compared to last month, and that was also up 2 points compared to a year earlier, but that index is still 55 points below where it was 2 years ago. The Current Condition Index was up 3 points compared to last month, and that leaves it 7% higher than in April of 2022. The Future Expectations Index was up 7 points compared to last month, and that puts it 2% below where it was in April of 2022. The Farm Financial Performance Index was up 7 points compared to last month at a reading of 93, but that leaves it 2 points lower than a year ago and well below where it was 2 years ago. The Farm Capital Investment Index was up 1 point compared to last month and up 7 points versus a year ago. However, that index remains 32 points below 2 years ago. We continue to ask producers who think now is a bad time to make large investments in their farming operation why they feel that way. High prices for machinery and new construction and rising interest rates are the two most important reasons for saying now is a bad time for making large investments in their farming operation. We've also been asking producers recently what they expect to see happen with respect to the U.S. prime interest rate. 66% of producers in this month's survey expect higher interest rates a year from now, but that's down from 75% who felt that way back in February. The short-term farmland value index was up 10 points compared to last month, but that was still 21 points below a year ago. And the long-term farmland index was unchanged compared to March and was up 1 point compared to 1 year ago. If you look at the responses to the 12-month ahead question with respect to farmland values, the shift was mostly about the percentage of producers expecting values to decline. That dropped from 20% last month to 14% this month. At the same time, the percentage expecting values to increase rose from 33% to 37%. In this month's survey, we asked producers what they expect to see happen with respect to the passage of a new farm bill in 2023. Just 40% of producers think it is at least somewhat likely that a new farm bill will be passed by Congress in 2023, and at the same time, 13% of producers think passage is very unlikely. Thinking about a new farm bill, we've asked producers what is the most important title of the farm bill to them. Producers chose crop insurance and commodity programs as the two most important titles in a new farm bill for their farming operation. And finally, in a follow-up to questions we've been asking over the last couple of years about lease rates for farmland for solar energy production, it appears that those lease rates are starting to rise. 25% of those engaged in a lease discussion with a company in the last 6 months say they were offered a rate of $1,250 or more per acre. That wraps up the highlights from this month's survey. The full report is available on the Purdue CME Group Ag Economy Barometer website, which is purdue.edu/agbarometer. And you can also get a more detailed discussion on our podcast, Purdue Commercial AgCast, which is available on major podcast providers and at purdue.edu/commercialag. On behalf of the Center for Commercial Agriculture, I'm Jim Mintert. Thanks for joining us.
New data from USDA's Economic Research Service confirms a decline in the farm Chapter 12 bankruptcy rate. In 2022, the Chapter 12 bankruptcy rate reached a lowest level in nearly two decades, with 0.78 bankruptcies per 10,000 farms. Under Chapter 12 bankruptcy, a financially distressed family farmer can propose and carry out a plan to repay their debts fully or partially. The total number of these bankruptcies is an indicator of financial stress in a farm sector. In 2003, the annual bankruptcy rate reached a high of 3.3 per 10,000 farms and then declined to a low of 0.5 per 10,000 farms in 2004. After 2010, the bankruptcy rate declined until 2014, but increased again in 2015 with another peak in 2019 at 2.9 bankruptcies per 10,000 farms. Since then, bankruptcies have declined to the lowest level in two decades after 2004. Wisconsin had the highest rate at 5.66 per 10,000 farms, followed by Nebraska, then Kansas. The National Milk Producers Federation has submitted to USDA its comprehensive proposal for modernizing the federal milk marketing order system. The proposal follows 2 years of examination and more than 150 meetings to build consensus behind updates to a program that last saw significant changes in 2000. The National Milk Proposal calls for updating the so-called make allowance, returning to the higher of Class 1 mover, and updating the Class 1 differential price system, among other updates. Upon acceptance, USDA will have 30 days to review the plan and decide whether and how to move forward with a federal order hearing to review the plan. National Milk will pursue two other components of its federal order proposal outside the federal order hearing process. Those include extending the current 30-day reporting limit to 45 days on forward price sales of non-fat dry milk and dry whey, and developing legislative language for the Farm Bill to ensure the make allowance is regularly reviewed. U.S. consumers' intakes of several key nutrients differ from federal recommendations, and those differences are associated with where they obtain their food. Researchers from USDA's Economic Research Service examined diet patterns based on density, amounts of nutrients consumed per 1,000 calories, using the latest available National Food Consumption Survey data collected from 2017 to 2018. They compared average consumption densities of six nutrients with what would be needed to match dietary guidelines for Americans' recommendations. On average, dietary fiber and iron intake densities were more than 20% below the recommended level. Meanwhile, calcium densities were closer to the recommended level, but still fell short of recommendations. Total fat intake was within 20% of the highest recommended percent of calories from total fats, which is 35%. The density of saturated fats for food away from home and densities of sodium from all sources were more than 20% above the recommended limit. Mike Stranz, National Farmers Union Vice President of Advocacy, says the organization recently testified before the Senate Ag Subcommittee on Crop Insurance Subsidies and the Overall Safety Net. They had three main points. The first one is that the next farm bill have a safety net that works as it should in making sure commodity programs and crop insurance are updated and viable. Number two, having diversified income streams for farmers, programs that help with climate change mitigation and conservation, which can add to an operations revenue. And the third point, the lack of competition in the marketplace needs to be addressed. He says if the ag industry is dominated by corporate monopoly, then all the programs mentioned here are for nothing and a larger issue needs to be addressed. Strand says it was good interaction with the Senate Ag Subcommittee lawmakers.
From North Dakota, I have questions about what sort of changes our groups would like to see to Title I commodity programs in the Farm Bill. Farmers Union's main, one of the points that Farmers Union is putting forward is that for the last couple Farm Bills, farmers have had a choice between agriculture risk coverage on revenue and price loss coverage. That's kind of based on farmers having to make a choice, and you know, sometimes the choice is made incorrectly. Market conditions may change and prices shift. So we want to see a dual enrollment option.
One other note, Strands points out that with the timing of the debt ceiling this year, it is making farm bill discussions even more difficult.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing Team, thank you for listening.